The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Good morning, everybody. Back again, Alan Ellis here with the inimitable Robin.
Inimitable.
Yeah, I like that word, inimitable.
Got a new one. Okay.
You like it?
Oh, yeah, it's fine.
It's true. Anyway, we're here. 410 WCBM 680 is our phone number, 410-922-6680. You say the caller wanted to find out where we were on the dial. 922-6680 is our phone number. WCBM is the call letters of the station. 680 is the location on the dial. It's also the phone number. Been that way for almost 30 years, 29 years. WCBM 680. 410 in front of it. If you're calling on a landline outside the local Baltimore dialing area, you can call toll-free. 800-WCBM-680, 922-6680 for the alphabetically challenged. Let's talk to John in Bel Air. Good morning, John. How are you?
Good, buddy.
What's going on, man?
Well, I'm launching out of the Bush River.
Okay.
I can't catch a fish. There, hear me out. What do you... Now I'm resorting to carp fishing.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
My grandson sent me a carp the other day. It must have weighed, I don't know, close to 20 pounds. And he loves catching them. They're a battler, man. It takes 15, 20 minutes to get one in sometimes.
Doesn't mean I know how to catch it. I can't. Where are all these fish going? I'm in 4 foot of water.
Mm-hmm.
It looks ideal because it's we got high tide, you know. We got mm-hmm. plenty of weeds. It's unbelievable. I can't catch a fish bigger than 3 inches long.
What are you using for bait?
I haven't used blood waters, but I'm using night crawlers. I'm using I'm using big frogs, jigs. I'm using poppers. I've got spinners. I'm actually trolling with spoons. Don't even get a hit. Where are these fish?
Jeez, I don't
Not
know.
Not the carp. Yesterday I started with corn.
Yeah, okay. corn and carp is usually a success story.
Okay. Well, where have these fish went? Is it the water temperature, do you think?
It could be the dissolved oxygen. You know, it could be if you're in an area, you say 4 feet of water, it looks good. You may have a lot of vegetation on the bottom there that's just depleting the oxygen in the. I mean, it's been so hot. Are you fishing temperature? Are you just out there throwing willy-nilly? I mean, have you caught fish in these areas before?
Yeah. No, I'm not using spinners to catch carp. Don't get me wrong. What I'm saying,
no.
The carp. Yeah, I don't know. See, I just what I'm trying to say is, how much square feet of water do we have there? And, you know, the whole rig, you mean the fish just leave? They're going? Where are they going?
Well, if there's no oxygen, yeah, they're going to go. They're going to go deeper.
Okay.
Or they're going to go where the water's oxygenated, which means usually more current.
Yeah, but carp don't like current. I hear. I'm reading. They like the vegetation. They like. I'm sick.
You're messing me up here because you're telling me that's the only thing you can catch. You want to catch something else, but the carp are there. So that's what you're settling for. Is that the idea or not?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So you just want you know, a jerk on one end of the line to feel a jerk on the other end of the line. Is that
there
what you? Yeah. Okay.
Some action, you know. Like,
action, baby. I need some action. Yeah. Well, the carp are giving it to you right now. Okay. But I mean, the bass, the white perch, and all that stuff. You just might have to go a little deeper. You might have to try a little different technique.
No, I misunderstand. I'm not catching carp either. I can't catch those. I haven't caught one of those either.
Hmm.
That's my point.
You need to find. Do you have a temperature gauge on your? I mean, do you carry water temperature gauge with you?
Yeah, I'm a heating and air conditioning guy.
Well, that's what I'm asking you. Are you carrying a water temperature thermometer with you?
No, but I will today.
I think that's probably a great idea, and find out where the ideal temperature is. If it's you know, the surface temperature or the water temperature's, you know, 85, 90 degrees, you're going to have to move over to where it's, you know, a little less than that, 75, 80 or less.
Is that what I want?
I would think so, yeah, because the higher the temperature, the lower the dissolved oxygen, and, you know, the less the fish are comfortable. They're cold-blooded creatures, but, you know, they're not going to cook themselves out there. You know what I mean?
But if I go to deeper water, more of a current, am I going to shoot myself in the foot with that?
Not if the fish are there.
For carp?
Listen, we used to catch carp out of the Juniata River, man. That was all current, you know?
I see them jumping out of the water
well,
in front of me.
Yeah.
For oxygen.
Well, I don't know about that. No, usually that's a breeding thing in the spring. But, you know, yeah, you can see carp jumping all year round usually. But, no, we used to fish them. We used to fish them in the heavy current in the, you know, I mean, you know. We were actually, you know, we'd throw a big soft-shell crab out there. And we're fishing for smallmouth bass. And, you know, carps are opportunists. So they would suck in one of those big soft-shell crayfish. And the fight was on, man.
But that's cheating. I think using peeler and salt crabs, that's cheating, man. That's like, I'll dive in the water for that. But, my point is here, and another question. These fish are jumping out of the water. They might not be carp. What do you think they could be? They're big.
They're probably carp. And if they're, you know, they could be bass. I'm guessing they're carp. You know, I've seen catfish jump, but not very often. You know, that's what you ought to target is some catfish. Get yourself some chicken livers and see what that does.
Let me do that. There you go. Never even thought of that. Absolutely.
How about that? Report back to me, John. Let me know how you make out.
All right, bud. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Thanks. Mike in Middle River, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you today?
I'm good. I don't know where the fish are in Middle River either.
Let me tell you, I was just listening to the previous caller, and he's doing something really wrong, because this has been a banner year for fishing. Aside from spring trophy season, spring trophy was pretty much a bust.
Okay.
I believe because of the warm winter that we had, them big fish came and they
spawned and got out of here. Yeah, I know it. Yeah.
And they did their thing before opening day, which is April 15th every year.
That's right.
Somewhere around April 15th, April 16th.
Yep.
And I believe the fish had came and gone. We still caught a few stragglers here and there, but nothing like years past. Years past were really good. This year, not too good. But since then, it's been the best summer fishing ever for me anyway. And I fish a lot, probably 3 or 4 times a week. And everywhere I go, they're catching fish. You got to look around for the bigger fish, but we had no problem catching our limit. Me and my son and his friend catching a limit of 20-inch plus fish. Lately, we've been getting them up to 36 inches. Rockfish, I'm talking about.
Right.
Of course. So, I don't know if that guy, he might want to try something different. So, try to get out of the Bush River for one thing, get out in the Middle River. Last fall, outside the gunpowder was just fantastic. I usually, coming out of Middle River, I would usually run over to Love Point, which is a pretty good run.
Yeah, that is a good run.
I didn't have to go no farther than the gunpowder, which is only like a 5-10 minute run for me. And the rockfish were just loaded up in there.
Yep. Well, I see all the boats out there right now on off Sandy Point, 7-foot knoll, dumping ground. You know, I mean, there's fish everywhere.
Oh yeah. I bet you I counted 200 boats 2 weeks ago. That was right around the dumping ground.
Yep.
It was I was fishing right outside the Magazine, right by Baltimore Light there.
Right.
And then, we were doing really good in there. And then as the water got a little warmer, I believe they moved out deeper to them dumping grounds. And then we counted over 200 boats out there.
Yep. Well, you know, the recreational guys, if they're all catching, and even if they're catching and releasing and chumming, they're putting hurting on those fish. There's no question about it. I mean, 200 boats, four anglers a boat, eight fish per boat times 200, that's 1,600 fish a day.
Right.
Okay. I mean, they're sustainable to a point. But how much pressure can you put on them?
Yeah,
I'm just asking.
I want to suggest using circle hooks. A lot of people...
We say it all the time here.
I use them all the time, and I think they work great. You got to learn how to use them. A lot of people, when they feel that bite, they want to jerk the rod really quick.
Yep.
And try to set the hook. You do not have to do that. If you just reel steady until the line comes taut and then pull on it, usually that hook comes up and gets them in the lip almost every single time.
Yep. When I fished on the St. John's River years ago, largemouth bass fishing with live shiners. These shiners were as big as a freshwater trout. I mean, they're 10 inches long. And, you know, you toss them out there 3 feet below a big cork bobber, okay, and you just let them set. And the guide seemed to know where the fish were hanging along the edge of this one little cutback. You know, it was like a peninsula out. It was like between the two sections of river. Anyway, the fish were there. And the first fish was 8'4", the second fish was 8'4", broke the third one off, and the fourth one was about 6 pounds. Okay, these are largemouth bass. So the first one, he goes, "Don't you give me no Yankee pool now." I said, "What's a Yankee pool?" He says, "You just got to cross your eyes when you pull that line back." I said, "All right, okay." So the first one takes the shiner. You know, you see the bobber just getting all jacked up and working around. You know the fish is after the shiner. You know, the shiner knows he's in trouble because this bass is stalking him, and the bobber's just twitching all over the place, you know. And he goes, "Oh, you got one working, you know. That shiner's nervous, you know." And all of a sudden you see the bobber just kind of sliding across the top of the water, and then poof, down it goes. He goes, wait, all right, hit it. And I hit that first 8-pound largemouth, never caught one that size in my entire life, and the fight was on. He says, "Man, you know how to set a hook. That weren't no Yankee pool." Well, that's what we do on rockfish, you know, with the circle hooks. You pull the bait right out of their mouth. You just you just got to learn, like you said, learn to use it. I like to sharpen them, and I like to push the barbs down on them, you know.
You sharpen your circle hooks?
You can.
Right.
Why not?
Yeah.
You know, sharpen them up. They penetrate easier. You press the barbs down. If you catch an undersized fish, they're easier to release.
Right. I use a number 4 Eagle Claw circle.
Yeah, that's about right.
They come pretty sharp.
Yeah, that's right.
And they're thin. They're a thinner wire, too. I like the thinner wire.
Yeah, I don't like those big, thick wire ones. You know, do you use the offset or the straight?
I use the offset.
Okay. I got it. Cool. All right, buddy. Appreciate the call. Thanks for the tips, Mike.
I love your show, man. Keep
all right, buddy. Going. Thank you. See ya.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Uh-oh. Fran in Baltimore. Good morning, Miss Fran. How are you this morning?
Yes, Miss Fran is fine.
Good.
Good morning, Robin.
Morning, Fran.
Listen, you had me laughing when you said you forgot that bear was in the back room.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, it had me laughing, too. You should see
well, your place must be something else. Anyway, I was preparing. You know, sometimes I cook for the day while the show is on.
Right.
And then that's done. And I was going to fix some corn muffin mix and some brownie mix, some fudge brownies. But you start talking about the critters that bite you.
Yeah.
And how bad the bites are and where they are and all that. And I tell you, I've been itching ever since.
That's good. That's the idea.
I didn't do no cooking, but I'm going to get started.
All right.
But I want to ask you something.
Mm-hmm.
Way back, many years ago, this guy told me something, and I wanted to ask you, is it true about things biting you? He said, down on the farm, you know, sometimes when you're cutting back the weeds or whatever,
yep,
you run into a nest of bees or wasps or something like that, right?
Right.
And he said he always carried 2 cigars in his pocket. He said they hate the smell of tobacco. And if you light a cigar, they will back off from biting you. Is that true? And if so, is that does that work? For, I know now that wouldn't work with the deer because they'd smell it.
Yeah.
Does that work for anything else?
Works for me.
Oh, it does work?
Well, I don't smoke cigars. I avoid them.
Huh?
I avoid tobacco myself.
Well, I don't smoke either.
No, God delivered me from tobacco back in the 70s. I'll just tell you. I'll just say it like that. So, you know, as much as I've been invited to partake of cigars at some of these events and that type of thing, hey, come on, join us for a cigar, I declined because I told God I never would touch the stuff after he Well, I'll tell you the story, friend. Here's what happened. I was smoking cigars, occasionally a cigarette. This is back in the 70s now, so I'm a young man in my 20s, mid-20s. And I was chewing tobacco. I was working at J&J Truck Body, Somerset Welding and Steel in Somerset, Pennsylvania. And I was chewing tobacco. I was out on one of the trucks, and I got sick in the stomach. It affected me. It just was burning my stomach. And I had Red Man tobacco in my back pocket. And I walked into the shop, and I pulled that bag of Red Man out of my pocket. And I looked up, and I said, God, if you heal my stomach, I will never touch tobacco again. And as a symbol of that, I threw that Red Man in the garbage can, half a pack of Red Man right in the garbage can. About 20 minutes, stomach ache was gone. That was the last association I ever had with tobacco.
Mm-hmm.
Instantly.
Well,
done.
I've never smoked, but I'm talking in self-defense.
No, I don't know. I mean,
out there doing those kind of things.
Yeah, look, if it worked for him, that's fine. I mean,
but
don't.
I'm just wondering if it was true that they hate the smell of tobacco.
I don't know. Robin is being our investigative reporter on that. She's going to find out on that deal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there you go. I don't know. I don't know about cigars. I mean, I know guys smoke them on fishing trips, and they say that they keep the mosquitoes away. Whether they keep hornets.
That's what I was asking about.
Yeah.
Mosquitoes. It
yeah.
works for mosquitoes, too?
It should if it does repel them. Do cigars
mm-hmm.
repel mosquitoes and bees?
Mm-hmm.
We're figuring it out.
And those hats that you can get with the net, because I got a couple things.
Yeah.
They say mosquito nets, you know. Do they really work?
Well, I prefer just a regular face mask, a loose fitting face mask. But the finer the mesh, the better off it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, when I hunted sick of deer a lot in archery season down in Dorchester County years ago, I mean I hunted them a lot, and I had it. Actually, I took a pair of the gloves that you wash dishes with. What do you call them? Dishwashing gloves, you know, the yellow ones.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, and I would camo them. I'd take a magic marker and camo them, and I'd put those on, and they'd come up to my, you know, the middle of my forearm.
Right.
And then I put my cotton gloves over that, and that would keep the mosquitoes from biting my hands.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but I kind of got away from that because then I started using the DEET and, you know, the Thermacell. The Thermacell is the best thing that ever happened. You know, it really is. I mean, you can, if you keep that thing with you or stay close to it, you're not going to get a mosquito within 15 feet. So I like that better. And, you know, it doesn't hurt your health, and it keeps everything away. And it doesn't spook the game.
Okay. Well, that just one thing. That guy that can't catch a fish.
Yeah.
I have a feeling. I have a feeling that he's talking to himself while he's out there.
Yeah.
And when he's not catching them, he's probably saying some things. And the fish are looking up and thought, well, we won't go near this one.
Ah, there you go. That's a good theory. Good as any.
All right,
dear. Thank you. See ya.
Right.
Bye-bye. Dale in Easton, and we'll take our first
good morning,
break of the day.
Sir.
Good morning, sir. How are you, buddy?
All right. Miss Robin, how's your shoulder?
Oh, it is extremely sore this morning. Thank you for asking.
Yeah.
Oh, it sounds like the therapist had some fun then.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So the therapist did have some fun.
Yeah. For some reason, it's really bugging me this morning.
That movie with Kathy Bates and James Caan where Kathy Bates was, you know, torturing James Caan.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I feel like.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Alan, do you remember the time that I think I had given you some veggies or fruits?
Mm.
and you were in the truck.
Bag of tomatoes.
You were driving down the road, and guess what crawled out?
Yeah, big wolf spider, I remember.
Yeah, you remember that.
I do, yes. Yeah.
I just thought I'd remind you.
Well, thank you very much for that. Yeah, I about jumped out of the truck while it was moving. Thank you.
Yes, yeah. You're welcome.
It's still, that's not as good as the words that came out of his mouth when he saw it under the sink.
Yeah. Alan got a question on cobia. I have a friend who has been catching a few cobia.
Good. Good.
What is the size limit on cobia? He looked in good and fine. I'm not sure where he looked, but he says he could not find that there is a size limit or a creel limit on
them. I don't know.
So I didn't know whether you would be able to answer the question or not.
Well, give me a few minutes to figure it out. We'll see what we can do.
Yeah, he's. I think this one was not a giant, but it was 26, 28 inches.
That's
something
a nice
like that.
Cobia. Maybe, yeah. That's
maybe
nice
bigger, but it's got him all fired up. He's ready to book a trip down to Lower Virginia.
That's on the bucket list, down to Eastern Shore of Virginia for cobia and spade fish. Let's see. Possible changes. Cobia in need of conservation. Fishing regulations. Let's see. I'm trying to find it while we speak, everybody. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
What is he catching them on?
I think they were using circle hooks for stripers.
Really?
Yeah, it was out, I think around the Falls Channel, someplace like that. But he's heard of some being caught on the Western Shore.
Mm-hmm. Really? On the Western Shore?
Yeah.
Okay, minimum size limits on cobia. None, open year round, no creel limit.
Okay, well, that's what he came up with, and I was kind of surprised.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. That's what the regulations say in the Maryland Fishing Guide.
Well, I'll be darned.
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
Well, that answers that question.
Yeah, it does. Hey, good for him. I'm glad he's catching them. I've been on board when one was caught about 40 inches long. And we dined on that thing that night. Oh, my gosh. That was in Florida.
He raved about it in terms of.
Oh, they're wonderful. There's no question.
Oh, great.
No
just
question.
Great.
Yep. So.
All right.
All right, buddy. Appreciate the call.
All right, well, next time you're over, I'll give you a bag of vegetables.
Yeah, thanks. If it's like the last one.
Yeah. You never know.
You never know. All right, buddy. Thanks.
Thanks, Alan.
See you, Dale.
See you, Robin.
See ya.
Bye-bye. Yep. Dale was there. I was having coffee with Dale when I met Robin.
That's right.
Yep, July 3rd. 20 years ago now?
It feels like it.
We're going to take a little break.
Go ahead and call John.
And I want to tell you one more time about Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. All this fishing talk is getting me wanting to go. And, of course, if I need any bait for fishing or crabbing or any kind of lures or terminal tackle or circle hooks or line, guess where I'm going? Clyde Sports Shop. That's right, Clyde Sports Shop. They've got everything. And I'll tell you what, with hunting season coming up, they've got the compound bows from Parker. They've got the new crossbows from Bear. They can custom cut your arrows. They can tune your bow. They can take care of any accessories you need for your bow hunting. They've got the great Browning firearms, among others, the Thompson Setter muzzle loaders, the new Ultimate muzzle loader from Remington, which is quite a beast. You want to check that thing out. And, if you need it, Clyde's got it or they can get it. Again, they're 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road. Fishing, hunting, crabbing, gun repair, rod and reel repair, you name it. Clyde's is all about it. Been in business since 1957. That's 60 years this year. 410-242-6108. 410-242-6108. Clyde Sports Shop. 24-hour fishing hotline. 247-3474. 247-FISH is the number. This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex spray-on bedliners. Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt it. Choose the Linex Premium or the Linex Extra. Both look great. Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, you get it. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800, 410-455-0800, Linex. For great fishing tackle, crabbing supplies, and up-to-date fishing and crabbing information, I recommend Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. To get there, take Route 100 to the end. Hop on Mountain Road towards Gibson Island. Go 2.5 miles to 4729 Mountain Road. All you need for any type of fishing, crabbing, and the best fishing report on the Mid-Bay. Fishbones also carries the best stainless steel crab steamers you'll ever find. Call 410-360-0573, 410-360-0573 for Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, let's talk to Big John over there at Chesapeake Outdoors. Morning, John. How are you?
Good morning. How you doing, Alan?
I'm doing well. Y'all ready for the big sale today at Chesapeake Outdoors?
Yep, we're getting there.
Are you? So is it inside? You got a tent? What's going on?
We got a tent outside. We're going to have Charlie the Chicken Man out there doing his famous dirty water chicken.
Dirty water chicken. That sounds good. I don't know.
That's real good. By.
Yeah.
Yep, that's his famous recipe. It's good stuff. We'll have that out there.
All right.
Big sale. We'll have a rumble through the sea container. We'll go through all tree stands and decoys and all that stuff. Everybody, if they want to buy any of that, we'll have a whole bunch of tables set up under the tent with crossbows and accessories, bow sights, a couple compounds.
I saw you had some cutlery there, some deer cutting kits up and all that stuff.
We'll have some deer kits. All kinds of stuff.
Man, it sounds like fun. What did you do, go through the back room and drag all this stuff out that was just sitting there?
Yeah.
Yes, I did. Well, there's some good stuff there, too, though.
Oh, yeah, there's some good stuff.
Yeah, good stuff.
Some, you know, a couple Excalibur crossbows, some Parker bows.
Nice.
A couple Hortons, or your 10 points now.
Yeah, got it.
Yep.
Wow, that'd be nice. Save me one of those 10 points.
Okay.
So, yeah, let me tell you, we talked to Charlie Wallace the other day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you know Charlie or not. He's from St. Mary's County. He killed a whitetail with his Excalibur crossbow that's just magnificent. It grossed over 180, netted 172. It was on the cover of the winter issue last year of the Maryland Hunting Quarterly. I don't know if you remember the guy with the beard that had that big giant wide buck on there.
Mm-hmm. I remember.
Oh, my gosh. What he sent us a picture. He's holding the Excalibur crossbow, and he's a taxidermist.
Okay.
And he mounted that deer himself, and it's a pretty cool picture. It really is. So, you know, we talked to Charlie, and he's going to work with us on this new bucks, bears, stag scoring thing that I talked to you about the other day. So it's all good. I mean, it would just but the Excalibur was what you mentioned that I wanted to bring out. That I mean, yeah, they're a nice bow. There's no question.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a whole big variety of them. I mean,
nope.
a few of each bow out there just to make sure we have something of everything.
Sure, got it.
And then also Bruce's Tips Barbecue, he'll be open today.
Wow, nice.
That's
So you got barbecue, you got chicken, you got a sale.
Yep.
Yeah, and your gracious and professional staff will be on hand to help people make their selections, I'm sure.
I know where we're going for lunch.
Where are we going?
We're going to his sale.
For chicken?
For chicken.
We might. We just might. Might show up. You never know.
That chicken's good.
Hey, you got plenty of magazines out there?
Yeah, we'll have them.
All right. I dropped extras off the other day. They're behind the counter. You know
where they are. I think also the guy that delivers, the guy I buy corn from, he's going to put a pallet of corn out there, and we'll sell that, too.
Awesome.
You're getting ready for everybody, aren't you?
Yes, we are.
All right, man. Hey, look, I wish you a lot of luck. Of course, you're talking about it here on the radio. We've been talking on it for weeks, and now this second week in a row, you've been on and telling us more about the stuff. Give me one example of a price, just one example of a price. Something that was X is now Y. Tell me, give me an idea.
Oh, let's say a crossbow is $599.
Okay.
It's now $325.
Woohoo! All right, buddy.
All right.
I love it. Yep. All right, man. That sounds great.
All righty.
You got it.
Thank you.
See you, John. There he goes. How about that? They're getting ready.
I think it sounds great.
I think it sounds great.
I'm
going
to go walk around their fishing department. I love their fishing department.
Oh, I know you do. All right. 410 WCBM 680. Do not delay in calling, folks. We're coming down the stretch here. We got one more little break at the end, but we want your phone calls. Comment on anything you've heard about today. Anything that you want to talk about, we'll be more than glad to talk about with you. Hey, next Saturday, September 2nd, is the Fall Gun and Outdoor Show. That's at 3400 North Wind Road. That's the Baltimore County Game and Fish Protective Association. Coming up next Saturday, exhibitors get to set up at 6 a.m. if you want. Tables are $10 if you have something to sell out there and you want to do that on the second day of September. Feel free to do that. If you want more information, call Butch, 443-442-4791, and we'll try and get him some magazines out there as well. So, all right, so we got an email from Tackle Box Tim. And Robin's doing some research, and the jury's still out on whether the cigar smoke actually repels or attracts bugs, right?
Yeah, it depends on who you talk to.
I guess. Says, Alan, my late neighbor Mike would light a cigar each evening in the summer when he was gardening. He never got bit by mosquitoes. He was sure it was a cigar smoke. Okay, maybe so. Maybe so. Let's see what Paul in Ferndale has to say. Hey, Paul, how are you?
I'm good, Alan.
Hey, were you guys down by St. John's this morning?
No. Well, actually, maybe
on Ritchie Highway.
Yeah, probably.
We passed you.
What time.
Light color pickup truck.
No, I got a red Ford F-250 with a trailer.
That wasn't you. Okay,
not you.
No, one of your competitors. One of your competitors.
One of the other guys I know.
I got it. So what's up, man?
I was just a comment on Fran's thing.
Yep.
I keep honeybees, and I use a smoker. And what you use the smoker for is to dissipate the pheromones that the honeybee emits, like when it stings you.
Ah, okay.
And that pheromone is what attracts the rest of the honeybees to come to you.
I see.
So it's not that for honeybees-wise.
Right.
It's not that the honeybee doesn't like the smell of smoke, it's to dissipate the pheromone in the air.
Ah, so he figures there's no hot chicks over there, so why stick around here, right?
Actually, it's all she's.
Well, there's no stud guys around here, so why stick around here, right?
Right.
I'm adaptable. I can adapt to, you know, whatever the situation is there. All right.
The guys don't do the stinging.
That's true. The males are the drones, right?
That is correct.
And the females are the ones that do the work.
So males, I didn't know males didn't sting.
Males don't sting, no. You can pick up a male, hold it in your hand. The females are the...
You can pick them all up, you just got to be careful.
Yeah, just, yeah.
But no,
I mean,
right.
Just like normal life. I mean, just like humans, the guys just, you know, they just, they're doing their thing. And the
here we go again.
Females are the ones that have the sting. All right. Well, I appreciate that, Paul.
The female bees do everything in there. The guys, they eat and they procreate, and that's it.
That sounds familiar.
I love it. I love it. That's perfect.
Now you know why.
That's a perfect
you're
life.
Always getting picked on.
It may be perfect, except for when they do mate with the queen, they die.
I don't have any aspirations to mate with the queen. All right, buddy. Talk to you later.
I'll talk to you later.
See you, bye. There we go. Captain Don, how are you?
Hey, pretty good, pretty good. I had a good week fishing for some perch and some catfish.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was pretty good. But last night, it turned off for some reason. I heard that gentleman before talking about it seemed like he wasn't catching any fish up
something,
there in the river. Of course, we're down here in the Patapsco and Stony Creek and Rock Creek and all that.
Something happened last night. I suspect it has to do with the pressure, barometric pressure, because both of us woke up achy this morning. I mean, I haven't had an achy morning in a long, long time. And it's like you wake up and you go, oh, man, oh. I'm getting old, one of these deals, you know. But it's not. I mean, it can be anything as simple as a pressure change. And, you know, low pressure, animals and fish, east wind, they don't like it. They just shut off. You know, I will hunt in any wind. I will hunt in any wind but an east wind. I mean, I'll hunt in an east wind, but I don't like it. And I don't expect to see anything out there, especially, especially a southeast wind for some reason. So I don't know.
Well, it was supposed to be light and variable, and boy, that wind's blowing across there this morning.
Is it? Yeah.
Yeah, but the boats are out there.
Yeah, I get it.
And they were out there early because I could see their lights on the water.
Yeah, you sent me a picture, man. That's a giant carp. You send me that guy's name if you get it. That'd be wonderful. Yeah.
There are so many people that come in from the community, and we have a lot of outsiders, which kind of leads me to my next question. We do have a homeowners association, and this is technically a private community. We have a security force,
right,
which is comprised of off-duty Anamosa County cops.
Right.
Anyway, in our meeting, their liaison was there, and I said, do your police officers ever check fishing licenses? And do they ever check? He said, well, no, that's DNR. So wait a minute. I said, isn't that a state, at least a state code or state rule? And he said, oh, no, we wouldn't do that. That's DNR. And then I was thinking of the Eastern Shore, and I'm thinking of the sheriffs and the county police, and I know they have a lot of problems with the Honga River, Fish Creek, and all that. And I'm wondering if the sheriffs, if the local law enforcement actually check for fishing licenses and even take a look down in the back.
No, they do not. They do not. Now with the Poaching Restitution Act, when the Poaching Restitution Act was passed, there's uncodified language, which is still the law, but there's no code that encourages Maryland Department of Natural Resources to work with local law enforcement to enforce poaching laws. Okay, and when we spoke to the colonel, the superintendent, he basically said that they had an effort underway. However, it depends on whether or not the local law enforcement has any interest in enforcing the law. So it depends on where you are. You call the local law enforcement agencies that somebody's there's, you know, gunshots. You better report it as an assault rather than somebody shooting deer. Okay. Because if you report it as somebody's, you know, taking shots at deer in the field, they're not even going to show up.
Yeah.
Okay. It depends on how you couch it. You say, hey, they're shooting guns down here. I don't know what they're shooting at, but, you know, it's scaring me, and I don't know if my house is going to be hit or what's going on. You know, if it's even perceived as a poaching call in some law enforcement agencies, they're not going to show up.
Yeah.
They'll say, they'll say, are they shooting a deer? And you say, well, maybe. Then they're going to say, well, you better call DNR. And then DNR is going to say, well, we don't have anybody there for another hour, 2 hours. By that point, it's done.
That's the thing that gets me. We have these state resources. We're paying for, and even the local sheriffs and police get money from the state.
Yep.
So I'm thinking we need to share the resources that we have, and especially if we have a problem with illegal fishing, undersize, and all that over there, especially where we always talk about, and you always talk about the poaching report from Fishing Creek and the Honda River and all that.
Yep.
I would think the local folks would be on the sheriff down there to get somebody down there and clean these people off of the off of the bridge.
Everything's local, man. I mean, I know a sheriff in Queen Anne's County. Okay, he said I got a call one night from a neighbor. Somebody was shooting a deer. Said I go down and catch the guy with a gun and the girl and the beer in the car. Okay, and they're shooting a deer. So what do? I call DNR to come up to help him. Now this is near, let's just say Queen Anne's County. Okay.
Okay.
He says I called DNR. He said, we don't have anybody in the area. He said, well, I've got this guy red-handed. There's a dead deer in the field, a gun in the car, light in the car, and I've got him. I've got him detained right now. We won't have anybody there for an hour. Closest guy's in Salisbury. You're kidding me. On the Maryland Eastern Shore, you don't have anybody between Queen Anne's County and Salisbury that can respond to a poaching call? And he said it happens all the time. So, look.
And with all due respect you say it was a sheriff or a deputy sheriff, whatever.
Yeah.
What keeps him from writing a citation?
Nothing.
What precludes? That's what I'm saying.
But the question is, well, nothing. But other than the fact that, what do I charge the guy with? What kind of violation do I charge him with? You know, they don't have the handbook for the natural resources law.
Boy, that's a problem. I mean, I could pull it up online myself.
Well, you probably could. Yeah, you probably could. But that's not what they do. And that's why we've encouraged NRP by law, uncodified, but still by law, passed by the General Assembly, to work with local law enforcement agencies on poaching violations, in particular deer poaching.
Yeah.
But it depends on whether the sheriff's interested or not. Some counties, sheriff could care less about deer, care less about people firing guns in his community, care less about public safety. And guess what? Sheriff, if you're listening, you know who the hell you are. So there you go. All right, buddy. Well, thank you for letting me
take
do
care.
That. All right, buddy. Thanks. See you. Bye-bye. All right. Whoops. There he goes. Mr. Dick in Cambridge, how are you?
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm well. What's up?
I was telling your call screener.
Yep.
I've got a disabled son and a guy that we know pretty well where I store my boat gave him a 15-foot fiberglass boat.
Right.
And so we're going to clean it all up and put a new engine on it, you know, buy a trailer, all that. And we also are good friends with a waterman. We've been out a couple times.
Sure.
With a waterman. And the waterman's dad used to nickname his son Captain Seaweed. He has a hat that says that.
Right.
And so he gave this hat to my son, and now my son wants to letter his boat with the name Captain Seaweed.
Okay.
But I don't know if that... My question is, I know the hull numbers are, you know, that's on the title.
Right.
But these little names that people put on their boats... Are they also...
I don't know if they're registered or not.
I don't know, and so I don't want to put Captain Seaweed on this boat if Captain Seaweed is already taken by somebody else.
Oh, man, I wouldn't really worry too much about that.
Yeah?
I really wouldn't.
Okay.
Captain Seaweed was a character in Baltimore television history.
Played, that's what I thought.
Played by Stu Kerr, who used to do the Garden Club here when I started.
Yeah.
You know?
Uh-huh.
So I don't know. Maybe you could make it CAP_N or, you know, something. I don't know. But I think it's pretty funny. But, I don't know why you would have any restrictions on that.
Yeah, I don't know if they can patent names that they put on.
register a trademark name or something.
Yeah, right.
I don't know, but that's pretty funny there, buddy. It really is. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. You heard about the fellow who was pretty notorious at dating different women, and he'd say to his girlfriend, "I named my boat after you." And she said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah, I did." And then he'd go on to the next girl, you know, and he'd say, "I named my boat after you. I care so much about it." "Really? Oh, that's wonderful." Finally, said to this one girl, "I named my boat after you." And she said, "You did?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "I want to go see it." He goes, "Well, it's not in city. I want to go. I insist we go." So down to the dock they go. Sure enough, they're on the back of the boat. "After you."
Oh, boy, that's pretty
yeah.
Corny but clean.
Yeah, corny but clean. All right, Dick, see you, buddy.
All right, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, man.
Yeah, but there's just one thing you can never, ever, ever do.
What?
Never, ever change the name of a boat.
Why?
You named it.
That's,
apparently,
that's
it's bad luck.
Luck.
That's
bad
like
luck
really,
name
really
of
bad luck.
Really?
Yeah. Once you name it, it sticks.
Oh.
Even if you sell the boat.
Uh-huh.
People who buy boats from other people, if the name's on the boat, they know not to change it because invariably something will happen.
How about that?
I've heard that for years.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I always called mine that damn boat.
That's what I named mine.
No, I don't have it anymore. You're right. I don't know if the guy that got it actually kept the name or not. But all I do know is that Chesapeake Outdoors, as you heard earlier, is having a big sale today. That's right. Head on down there to Kent Island, exit 39B, Dominion Road on Kent Island, and check out the great value. You heard some of the prices. They're pretty great. I mean, crossbows and accessories and fishing stuff, everything that is out under that tent is on sale. I think savings up to like 40% or more. Anyway, you can check it out. First choice for Eastern Shore hunters and anglers is Chesapeake Outdoors, located on Kent Island. That phone number, 410-604-2500. Don't call them and ask them to run through the whole list of stuff. All I can tell you is they're going to have chicken and pit beef and lots of sale stuff under the tent. So why not check it out? Dominion Road, exit 39B, Kent Island. The place is called Chesapeake Outdoors. Go buy something cheap. Go buy something good cheap for hunting season. What?
Nothing.
Well, you don't like my commercials?
I loved your commercials.
Oh, all right. Well, you're going to hear one from Clyde's Sport Shop, too. If you want to catch something or kill something, Clyde's has all the equipment you need. What?
Well, it's going to be one of those days.
It could be one of those days. That's right. Hey, you want to kill a goose? They got the Browning A5. They got the Browning great firearms from Browning. And if you want to kill a deer, they got the X-Bolt. No, they really do have some great deals on Browning firearms. And it is bow season coming up, of course. And you can still get one of those cool Bear crossbows, a Bear X crossbow. They have funny names. Torix, T-O-R-I-X, F-F-L, and Physics, F-I. Physics, that means something in medical terms, doesn't it? If you get physicked.
You're not cutting it anymore.
Anyway, Physics, F-I-S-I-X-F-F-L. I don't know if I want a bow named Physics. But, hey, go check it out, Clyde Sports Shop. They got Parker crossbows and Thompson Center muzzleloaders, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road and Lansdowne, just up Beltway, exit 9, 410-242-6108. Website is clydesports.com. Go see him.
WCBM, Baltimore.
A dry, high pressure 2 hour north producing a nice northeasterly flow, keeping those temperatures on the cool side of average. I'm talking about 78 today. We should be in the mid 80s, and we will see more sun and clouds. Tonight we are mostly clear, drop back to around 60 for the overnight low. Should be in the mid 60s this time of year. More sun than clouds ahead for our Sunday as we get up to around 77 degrees, and then we will see the possibility for some showers for the afternoon Monday. Jeff Eno from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie Spray-On Bedliners. Linex Spray-On Bedliners rated number one, carrying nationwide lifetime warranty. Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex Premium Bedliner or the Linex Extra. Both look great. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards. You get it. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner, truck gear, and accessories. Catonsville Linex, New location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bayline X of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Line X. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W. Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys. Don't let them pick guitars and drive them old trucks. Make them be doctors and lawyers and such. Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys. They'll never stay home and they're always alone. Even with someone they love.
All right, let's talk. Wow, we got time maybe for one more call or maybe not. No, no more time. All right, well, MarylandHuntingQuarterly.com up online, MDHuntingCoalition.org, and coming soon, Bucks. Bears-stags.com and Facebook page. We're looking for scores. We're looking for deer, big deer, little deer, youth deer, women's deer. You can send me an email on any of that. Ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. We'll put you in the right direction. I'll tell you about what's going on with the Hunting Coalition. You sign up as a member for that. We have over 1,000 members now. It's free to join. MDHuntingCoalition.com website. Join for free. Newsletter coming out. I'll let you know what's going on with